Good morning. Nice to see you here today. We're glad that you've joined us. Got a nice crowd. We've been encouraging you to see this movie. I don't know if you have or not. You know, if you're like me, I always see a nice movie out, you know, good whatever, and I want to see that. And then all of a sudden it's gone. Oh, man, I missed it. I don't know about you, but I don't really like to watch movies on DVD at home. I don't know. There's something about the big screen, you know, $12 box of popcorn, you know, just makes it... So if you haven't seen the movie, you know, I'd encourage you to do it. It's a great film, great message. But we've been using the movie to kind of teach about prayer. And I want to continue to that today. What is prayer? Prayer is simply just talking with God. It's the invitation as believers to converse, to communicate with our God in heaven. You know, I had this become so real to me just the other day. I was driving down the road, and I had this thought. I thought, wow, I haven't talked to the girls in a while. And all of a sudden, my phone rang, and I looked, and it's Kristen. And I don't know about you, on my phone, my kids' pictures pop up when they call me, you know. So Kristen's picture popped up, and I'm like, oh, it's Kristen. So I answered it, you know, how are you, sweetheart? I'm really great. And she's just calling to talk to Dad, and she's telling me about her dog. She got this new dog. She used to have a hamster named Meatball. Now she's got a bulldog named Meatloaf. You know, I simply lost her when I told her. I said, well, maybe you need to call Nathan, her husband, Meathead. Now, those of you that are my age, you know what that means, right? She's like, Dad, why would I do that? I said, just Google Meathead on the internet. You'll see what I'm talking about. But I had this great conversation with Kristen, you know. Okay, honey, we'll see you soon. We hung up. It's like, wow, that was really nice. And not too long later, I think God is teaching me a lesson, because all of a sudden the phone rings again. I look down, and it's Sarah. Okay, my other daughter. And so I answer the phone. I say, Sarah, how are you? And you know, we're just talking. She's telling me about Jack, you know, and how he's walking everywhere now and you can't keep up with him. I said, it just gets worse. And all this. And so we had this great conversation, and then we hung up. And then I'm thinking about this message with you guys today. And I'm thinking, you know what? What I just had, the experience I just had, is kind of an illustration of what God wants to have with us. He wants us to call. He wants us to check in. He wants us to share our lives with Him. He wants us to pick up this line called prayer, and He wants us to communicate with Him. And when we do, it brings a smile to His face. It brings joy to His heart. Why? Because His children have checked in with Him. That's what prayer is. Have you ever wondered why we close our eyes when we pray? You thought about that? You ever wondered, why do you close your eyes when you pray? Why do you bow your head when you pray? Maybe you didn't know this, but there's nowhere in the Bible that we are commanded to do that. Some people think that it actually goes back to the Old Testament, where it says that no one can see God and live. Therefore, when we talk to the living God, that we close our eyes, because it's just this recognition that we are not worthy to be in His presence. Though we bow our heads, we close our eyes. Or an Old Testament picture of that, having that awe, having that reverence for God. But you know what? I think that it's much more of a practical kind of issue as to why we close our eyes and pray. And I think the practical issue is simply that we want to tune everything else out. We want to be totally focused on being in His presence. You know, I don't know if you're like this. Remember the movie? I think it was the movie Up, that had the dog with the cone of shame on, and they'd given this dog the ability to speak, and he's just talking, and he says, oh, a squirrel! You remember that movie? Just a few of you, okay. Just this morning, I was over at the office, and I was standing at the sink, and I was waiting on a cup of coffee to come out, and I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about talking to you guys and teaching you guys about prayer, and all of a sudden, a deer, don't get excited, John, a deer came up through the yard of the office, and then a second one, and then a third one, and then one with this giant, no, it didn't, it was just three ordinary antlerless deer walked by. But right away, my mind was taken off to something else. I think that we're encouraged, or we do close our eyes, we bow our heads so that we can filter out the distractions that constantly come our way. It's kind of like shutting the door to the world and really hearing and listening to God. Shutting the world out so the believer can truly be near God. You know, last week we talked to you about when we pray. Today I want to share with you about where we pray. Because Jesus has a really clear teaching in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. That's what we looked at last week. And we talked about when you pray. He said, when you pray, do this. And today we're going to talk about where we pray. The Bible communicates that we should pray without ceasing. And that implies that anywhere is a good place to pray. And I loved what Chuck had to say to you. So here's the thing, and I know this kind of goes against probably one of the tenets of the movie that we're encouraging you to see, because in the movie, the war room is an actual room in a house of this sweet little believer, this lady, and in this room is just one chair, and there's things on the wall, written on the wall, there's prayers on the wall, scriptures on the wall, and that's her prayer room, and that's where she goes. But Jesus, kind of in a figurative way, says that's awesome that we go into the room, but we can kind of make that room wherever we are and whatever we're doing. Where you pray. Look at what he says in Matthew 6, 5 through 8. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because there are many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask it. Look at that. When you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. You see, the Bible implies that anywhere is a good place to pray. Though this may seem obvious, it's not so obvious in the way that we practice. 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells us that we should pray without ceasing. So certainly we can't always go into that secret literal room maybe that we have and then we've set up for prayer. But I think that we're still able to shut the door and give God our full and undivided attention. So let me make a few points about this idea of shutting the door. First of all, I think when we're able to shut the door, it shifts the focus off of others and onto God. You know, when we're able to remember that the issue with the hypocrites was what? It was that they loved attention. They loved to pray on the street corner to be seen by others. And this that Jesus is encouraging us here, it's exactly the opposite of that. That when we pray, that we need to shut the door, and our goal should not be to impress anyone. Our goal should not be to imitate any other. Our goal should not allow others to evaluate what we're doing, what we're saying, and the attitude in which we are doing it. The Bible simply says it encourages us to shut the door to the world, to go into that secret place and seek God, simply to shift the focus off of everyone else and on to Him. I love Proverbs 29, verse 25. Listen to what it says. This is the New Living Translation. It says there, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Did you get that? Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. You see, I think that's the devil's trap. Because if the devil is keeping us interested, even as we pray, keeps us interested in thinking about what other people see, what other people think, what other people are saying about us, that keeps us from praying effectively. But if we always know that is a trap, and the trap is that we can fear what other people think rather than trusting in the Lord. And God says, you know, get into that secret place, shut that door so that you can take the focus off of others and onto God. You know, I love Rick Warren. By the way, you know they're coming out with a movie about the purpose-driven life. Did you know that? Do you remember the story a few years ago? I think it was a girl in Atlanta was kidnapped by this criminal, and she had the purpose-driven life book laying on her counter, and this guy kidnapped her, said, "What is that?" And she read him the book, and anyway, it all turned out. They're making a movie about that particular episode, which is going to be really, really interesting. I'm not even sure why I told you that. What was I talking about? Shut the door. Here's the thing, though, folks. It takes the focus off of others and puts it on Him. Here was the point I was trying to make. You know, because Rick Warren, I remember a few years ago he was interviewed by a national news personality. And in that interview, they ask him one of those gotcha questions. You know what I'm talking about? The ones they do with politicians to try to pin them down, to try to make them say something that they can use as a soundbite later. You know, one of those episodes. And they ask Rick Warren about some social issues of our time and his view on that. And I loved his answer. He said, "Listen, guys." He said, I fear God much more than I fear any person living. Because they want to know, you know, what do you think about other people that think about you? And he said, "Listen, I fear God more than anything else in life." You know, when it comes to prayer, when you know, when you understand that when you shut the door that you're in His presence and nothing else matters, no one else matters, there's not any other distraction, it's just you and your Heavenly Father talking and sharing together. You see, shutting the door shifts the focus off of others. It also shifts the focus off of self, off of us, off of me and you. And there we are with God, with no one to impress. We become a little less self-conscious and a little more God-conscious. And that's the goal in prayer. You know, as we pray privately in our room with God, God's Holy Spirit may reveal more of who we are, more of who He is, and how to walk in light of His Word. But you know what? If our prayers are always just selfishly thinking about who we are, what we want, where we want to go, what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, our prayers, we should always fight the urge to making our prayers selfish and getting the view off of ourselves and getting it on God and who God wants to be for me and for you. I love Psalm 86. Listen to what it says, verse 11. David is speaking and he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord." You ever prayed that? Maybe instead of going to God in prayer and saying, "God, this is what I need, this is what I want, this is what I desire," maybe that's the prayer we should pray. The prayer that David prayed here, "God, teach me your way that I may walk," he says, "in your truth." Listen to the way he finishes that verse, Psalm 86, 11. He says, "Unite my heart to fear your name." You see, when we close that door, we can focus off of others on God. We can focus off of ourselves on Him. Thirdly, shutting that door shifts God into His place of authority in our lives. You know, we're told how we should all put down our phones while driving and at dinner and in theaters and in church and when we're engaged in quality time with others. When you silence the ringer on your phone, or you turn down the noise that's on your phone, what does it do? What it says to everyone around you is that you are my priority. By the way, I saw a cute cartoon the other day, kind of pointed but cute, and it was a picture of two elderly people And it simply said, be good to your parents, you know, care for them and talk to them every day, because it'll be one day you'll actually get off your phone and notice they're not there anymore. You know, and sometimes I think that can be applied to our relationship with God. You know, God wants to do life with us. He wants to help us. He wants us to shut out the world. He wants us to shut the door and pray and engage with Him each and every day. But sometimes we don't do that. We don't take advantage of that. And I think sometimes, someday we're going to look up and that day's going to pass. And the opportunities that we've had for a long time are no longer there. You know, God taught me this yesterday. I had a really busy day yesterday. We had game day yesterday here for staff and leaders and key volunteers. It was awesome. We had 52 people gathered together over in the cafe. And I know you've seen us and heard us advertising that for some time. It was awesome. But the guy that did our breakfast, I told him I would be up here to unlock the door for him. So I came to the church at 5 o'clock. I left home at 5 o'clock. Okay, and you know how that is. You get up, I hastily got ready, I got in my car, and I'm driving up here because I have to get the door in for him. And all of a sudden I thought, you know what, John, you got a really busy day today, and you did not even pray. So as I'm driving, I started praying. Now, I didn't close my eyes, didn't bow my head, but I prayed. And I said, God, you know, thank you for this day. Thank you for what's going to happen. And I just pray that you'll be in and a part of everything that we do today. And you know what? He really was. That first, you know, thing was really awesome. It was really weird because I had this really unusual day yesterday. I had a wedding, and the wedding was going to be in the middle of this game day thing. So at 9:30, I actually came over here. It was just a couple. It's a long story. I'll tell you that story some other time. But I did game day, and then we had a little break. I came over here. I married this couple. I went back and finished game day. It was over at lunchtime, you know, and we had lunch together. And about 12:15, I took out of here, and I drove down to Roaring Spring, and I was going to play in a golf outing with Precious Life, with Scott Manganiello, the director of Precious Life, and then three preachers. Did you ever hear about the three preachers that played golf with the pro-life? No. Anyway, that was... I could tell you about it, but it was awesome. And it was late starting, so it was late finishing. And so it was like dark by the time we were totally finished with this. And I got really lucky on one shot, and I thought I was going to win a prize for closest to the pin. So I hung around because I wanted to get my sleeve of free balls. And then somebody beat me by 2 inches. I think he cheated. Okay, I demand a remeasure. Okay, but anyway, that was all. And here's the thing: my wife, she's at home, she's on crutches, she's at. And I left at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's 8:30 at night. I haven't been home. And so, you know, I'm going home. I'm hoping that she's okay. And you know, I told Wilson to take good care of her. But anyway, here was this long day. But I finally, at the beginning of the day, I realized how important it was to pray. And I'm telling you, it was a great day. It was a great morning. It was a great wedding. It was a great seminar with the people. It was a wonderful, well, it wasn't that great on the golf course, but I don't think God cares about my golf game anymore. But anyway, but let me tell you something. You know why it was, and I got home, Arlene was great. She was good. She had a great day. It was awesome. But you know why? I just think it was because God finally got my attention in such a way that made me pray. Listen, folks, prayer is that important. Shutting the door, shutting the world out is that important. It helps us to get our priorities straight. We're told how we should do that, how we should not allow distractions to take us away from the Father. And you know who teaches us this almost better than anybody? It's Jesus. I mean, if you really want to understand how important it is, just do this study in the New Testament. Find these passages, and by the way, here, I'll give them to you, where Jesus gets alone with God. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, you know what it says? It says that Jesus went up on the mountain to pray. It said he left the people, and he went on the mountain to pray. You know what he did? He shut the door. Now, he wasn't in a building. He was out in nature. But he shut the door. He shut off the distractions of the world, and he went out by himself, and he spent time praying to God. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, you know what it says? It says, and you can read it there, and here's the words. It says, Jesus withdrew to a desolate place. Matter of fact, it says Jesus withdrew to desolate places to pray. You know what he did? He did what you and I very rarely do. He shut the door. Prayer to Jesus was not just a moment in time. Prayer was a concerted effort to get away from the distractions of life and spend time with the Father. He went on the mountain to pray. He went to desolate places to pray. Luke chapter 6, verse 12, you know what it says? You can look it up. It says that Jesus went on the mountain and he prayed all night. You know, sometimes, folks, we need to shut the door to the distractions, not for just a moment, not just for an hour, but for a while. You know, sometimes we need a Sabbath. Sometimes we need a year of jubilee. Sometimes we just need to get away and recharge and reevaluate and just get alone with God and say, God, give me a brand new beginning. Luke 22, you know what it is? It's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And we always focus on how Jesus prayed and how he dripped sweat that was drops of blood and how when he came back, the disciples were asleep. But at the very beginning of that passage, you know what it says? It says Jesus withdrew, literally it says a stone's throw away from his disciples. In other words, he was with his disciples and then it says that he withdrew from them to pray. I find that, why did he do that? I mean, maybe they would have gotten it better. Maybe they would understand more clearly. Maybe he wouldn't have had the issue of them falling asleep if he was right there with them. But it says that he withdrew from them, even if it was just a little ways. Why? Because he wanted to shut the door. Sometimes, folks, I think that our prayers are not as effective is because we've not learned this issue of being able to shut the door off to the world, of getting in a room by ourselves with God and praying with him. If we do that, the focus will come off of others and it'll be on him. The focus will come off of ourselves and it'll be on him. And the focus will be on his place of authority and priority in our lives. You know, one of the most fascinating people that has ever spoken or written about things like this is a fellow from a generation past by the name of Oswald Chambers. Do you know him? My Utmost for His Highest. Very famous devotional book. Highly recommend it. But in that book, he says this. He says, unless you learn to open the door of your life completely and let God in from your first waking moment of each new day, you will be working on the wrong level throughout the day. But if you will swing the door of your life fully open and pray to your Father who is in the secret place, every public thing in your life will be marked with the lasting imprint of the presence of God. Folks, I believe with all my heart that we many times do not look like or act like God wants us to look and act. But I think probably the reason why that's true is because we don't start our day like this. Think about it. We get up in the morning and we open up the doors of our lives to everything that we're going to encounter that day. And Oswald Chambers encourages us and shows us and tells us the importance of closing the door to the world and opening up that door to the presence of God. And then when we are full of God's presence, then we can go out and take on our day with His power and with His might and with His grace and with His mercy. heard somebody say recently, shut the front door. You know, it's kind of like an expression of, I'm not sure exactly what they're trying to express, but so it's like, you know, they're baffled by life. You know, you tell them something that they don't quite understand or something that's a little bit surprising. And I did that recently. Somebody said, shut the front door. And my thought was, you know what? My mother was the first person that said that. I remember it was in the middle 60s when I was out in the yard playing with my good friend Tim Dye, and we ran into the house and we threw the door open, but we never bothered to close it. And she said, hey, shut the front door. Were you born in a barn? Maybe your mother was the first one. I don't know. If you're older than me, maybe your mom was the first one. But I remember my mom saying that, you know, shut the front door. And you know what? I'm going to leave you with those words today. Shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the world out. Shut the door. Shut the distractions out. Put your phone down. Turn it off. And listen and spend some time with God. Because shutting the door and spending time alone with God is a practice that we need. Shutting distracting doors in the mind so that we can solely focus on God is a discipline that all of us need to embrace. And ultimately, when we are able to shut out the world, we swing wide open the entryway and welcome God into our lives to help us do the work that He's called us to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it's so easy to get up in the morning and open the door to what the world has for us that day. But God, before we ever open the door and walk out into our day, God, may we shut that door to the world and open up into the presence of God. And Father, may we trust Him. May we trust You for all that we need to do that. And God, I pray that You'd give us that kind of prayer life, that kind of understanding, that the strength that we need for whatever we face in the world is strength that we get from being alone with You. So Father, just as we desire our children to talk to us, and when they do, Lord, it brings a smile to our face. May we know, Lord, that when we shut the door to the world and we talk to You, following the example of our Savior Jesus, that, Lord, it brings a smile to Your face and helps us, Father, to depend on You for all things. And Lord, I pray right now in the quietness of this room that every person here could have that small moment of shutting out everything and everybody and experiencing You in a real and a beautiful way. And Lord, I pray that that can happen even right now as we bow down and as we worship You. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' holy name, and we sing from our heart of hearts. Amen.